disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, excuse me here this morning. I just got an email from my good buddy George that said the internet's having storms out in Oklahoma. That I can't hear you. I don't know the number. So, George, hang on here, man. I'm typing it to you right now. The number is 605-475.
I got it, Coach. I'm on.
You're in. All right, George. Just trying to take care of you, brother. Just trying to take there's a lot of ways. There's a lot of ways to listen to our show, folks. And Jared's got it all posted there at our website. George said he couldn't get online because of the thunderstorms and all that. And here, folks, look, it said join Coach's Interactive Live Huddle Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. He gives you a number that you can just listen on the phone if you want to. And then there's a number that you can dial just to join the huddle. In other words, you can be on your phone, dial in, and you don't have to be sitting in front of your computer. You can dial right in, which is one of the things we're going to try to do this weekend. We need to talk a little bit more about that. I hate coming in here early because here's what happens. Let me get rid of this here. Folks, if you'd be in here, there's 25 people in here in the pre-show. Today there was 25 people. They log on, I don't know, someone get in here pretty early. Some get in here like 6:30. They start chatting back and forth and yabbing. And so I'm doing show prep and everything, and I'm reading some scripture and praying and everything. I come down here and then I put my earphones on and I log in, and then these guys are talking about 1,000 different things, and they try to get me distracted on where I want to go because everything they're talking about is interesting and I want to pipe in. So Chad was doing that this morning and Vinny was doing that, and they got me all wound up trying to head another direction, but I'm going to try to reel myself back in here today. Reel back in. Man, I'm excited about this weekend. I'm harried. My wife is harried as well. About this weekend, everybody that's coming in. I appreciate all of you yesterday who, listen, if you didn't get an email, I said this yesterday, if you didn't get an email from me yesterday, I don't know you're coming. And so if you're coming, please send me an email because I have an email I want to send you. And, you know, some of us said, Coach, I'll be there. But if you didn't get an email from me, I don't have you down. Okay. So I try to do that. We got a full weekend plan, to say the least. We got people coming in from, I got a couple. This is amazing. I got a couple who left yesterday after the show from Salem, Oregon, are driving here from Salem, Oregon. Is that amazing? They're driving here from Salem, Oregon. So we have a good time. Guys are flying in, and listen, please understand this. If you are coming in here, you are not coming in to a health spa, all right? If you didn't get a hotel, you're coming into what might be some rough conditions. You might have to sleep in a tent. You might have to sleep on a floor. You might have to sleep on a couch. You may have to, I don't know. So I'm trying to make my wife feel better because my wife is the sweetest hostess anybody ever came across. And so when all of you guys show up, she's going to be feeling really bad if your pillow's wrinkled. That's just the way my wife is. God bless her. Well, I'm here to take her off the hook and say, listen, you're coming to rough it, okay? If you have a hotel room, good for you. But if you're coming and we're trying to get some coffee set up. We're trying to do some different stuff like that. One of the issues that's been a problem for me is I don't really know exactly how many are coming. So we're trying to order food and coffee and all. I just tell you this. A week from today, right now it's Tuesday, a week from today, you're going to be back home, and this will be one of the best experiences you ever had, all right? And then I got to apologize to some of you. Guys, you guys have any idea how many emails I'm getting? I get a lot of emails. And sometimes I don't answer right back, so I usually read them. Sometimes I get back to them. Sometimes I don't read them. I get a bunch of them. Coach, what about this? And what about this? And what about this? So I'm not complaining. I'm just saying I'm dealing with that kind of stuff, all right? So if I didn't get right back to you on email, bear me a little bit of grace here, if you could. Amen. Hey, Sarge, I was watching that thing on Craig's, you sent me this morning. I got to watch the best rest of that. Coach, folks, there's a lot of misinformation out there. A lot of misinformation on both sides of it. A lot of it. And that's why we proudly say here that we try to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. Because, you see, there's two spectrums that we're dealing with. We're dealing with the natural world, and we're dealing with the spiritual world. And unfortunately, most people in the church do not understand the connection. Which brings me back to Pastor Mike Spaulding, and Go Ye Therefore Conference, and how powerful that was. And every time I walk away from one of these conferences, I'm just blown away with what I don't know, what's going on out there. And we as Christians should be on the cutting edge, most informed, understanding what's going on. We should be able to have the answer. Jared, if you could, go to my Facebook page real quick. I sent you a bunch of stuff. I don't think I put my Facebook page in. There's one of the things I wanted to show you. We were talking about something else before we went on the air. Listen, I'm not going to say much about this. Two things. Oh, my goodness. I want to talk about that, too. Go on down, Jared. Good. Keep going on down. I did some of this stuff yesterday. This happened right here in my hometown. Keep on going down. That's a good video to watch. Live right there. Right here in my hometown. My hometown. Foster parent charged after five-year-old dies from severe injuries. This just happened. And the article's posted there. But I want you to, Jared, click where it says see more. Here's what I posted yesterday on Facebook. Right there. I just said this. Read this article closely. And you will find that the two foster parents were both men. That's right. Two husbands. This little five-year-old kid gets killed by foster parents who happen to be husbands. Now, can you imagine if I had done this? Can you imagine how thorough the article would have been? They'd gone into my history of all I've done. I want you to see this. Read with me. So here's what I posted. Read this article close, and you will find that the two foster parents were both men. That's right, two husbands. Foster care. Putting a child into a home with two husbands. Does that make me a bad guy for pointing it out? And then watch this. Watch this. Ready? Are you ready? Somehow I bet they were doing more than wrestling. The story is the kid, they were wrestling. They were just wrestling. And all of a sudden, he stopped breathing. And they called 911. It's a horrible 911 call. But look what you find if you continue reading the article. You ready? Guard, that's the little boy. Guard also had two cuts to his genitals, according to court records. And another young boy was also in the home. Right here in my hometown. Now, I'm wondering, see, we are so intimidated. I posted this commentary. Jared, how many, just slide down, how many people commented on Jared on my posting? Let's see, five. Five. Why won't people post? Why won't people post? Folks, I put most posts up. I get hundreds of people comment. Why won't people post on this? There's the picture of the little boy. Why won't they post? Because they're intimidated. They don't want to call a bigot. They don't want to be called a homophobe. And we know. Oh, my goodness. I'm not even going to say it. We know what's going on. David Arthur's filled us in on all that stuff. We don't know about this particular case. We don't know. But we know the infiltration of the alphabet soup into every area where there are children. We know that. Because David told us they have to recruit. Go ahead, Vince.
No, you're.
Okay, I thought it was you. So I want to show you that because that makes me, that right there made me sick in my stomach. Right here in my own little town. Now, I'm saying, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do? Lord, do you want me to go make a stink about this? Because I'm going to tell you this, and nobody else will make a stink. And then the media will cover it up. Did you read what I read there? He had cuts on his genitals. When was the last time you were roughhousing in your house with your children and throwing them down, doing wrestling moves and throwing them down on the bed and throwing them down on the mattress, throwing them down on the couch, and the genitals get cut. When's the last time that happened? Chad, is that going at your house? Anybody got a bunch of grandkids, throw them down there and your genitals are getting cut?
Coach, I had saw that article. I had saw that article, and once I read that, you know, it was a red flag up the pole. And not only that, he had bruises all over his body. It wasn't just a head trauma. This is such a sad, sad situation. But like you said, nobody wants to talk about it. I post pictures like that where that lady threw her baby over the wall after delivering it. No comments. No comments.
Nobody will stand up and say what I'm about to say.
No.
The homosexuals. Hey, yeah, go ahead.
Hey, it's George. You know, we've got three grandkids ranging from 4 to 11. And you've been to my house. Our living room, literally, the carpet is a wrestling mat. There's been hundreds and hundreds of wrestling matches. And nothing even close to that has ever happened.
You've never cut their genitals.
So I'll just verify what you're saying.
You never cut their genitals twice?
No, not even one.
Okay, so folks, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to be truthful with you. You'll have a harder time being a foster parent if you're Christian than if you're a homo. Because morality is going out the window.
You know what, Coach?
It's going out the window. Yeah, David.
You say that we don't know the situation. We do know the situation. We do know the situation. We know that this little boy was being hurt and molested. We know this. We know this. And somebody needs to step up for this little boy and sue the state, because the state, whoever put that boy in the hands of two men, are the ones that are responsible for this boy's death. They're responsible for this boy's death. And they Absolutely. Need to be held responsible.
This
isn't the first one. This is one of many, many, many cases of homosexuals who have adopted children or foster care children, and that they have been hurt, abused, or killed. And it's not the first time.
I'm going to make this prediction. The only way that this foolishness is going to stop is when some adult child who is adopted or whatever sues the government for depriving him or her of both parents. When a grown child sues them saying, you placed me against my will, you placed me in a home with two men or two women. And when you put me in that home with two women, you kept me from having the right to have a daddy. We need that lawsuit. We need that lawsuit. Then this foolishness will change.
Yeah.
Until it does. See, I'm talking about we, God-fearing people who still have functioning consciences, know this, that a dad and a dad is not a dad and a mom. We know that. We know, JR, that is not the natural family. That is not natural. And it doesn't have anything to do with whether two daddies can raise a kid. Doesn't have anything to do with that. That is not a natural family. That is not the way that it's supposed to be done. And the destruction of the family is at the core of the issues that we're having in America. And then we see our social agencies going against what we know is normal. That is not normal. Okay? I don't want to get bogged down on this show. This is the type of stuff we have to rise up against. I'm thinking, Lord, do I have to do that? Do I have to go to grab a sign and go to children's services? Is that what I have to do, Lord? And go grab a sign and stand outside of children's services and then have the same newspaper call me a hate monger and a homophobe and a bigot? Do I have to do that? Do I have to do that, Lord? Is anybody going to do that, Lord? Is it going to be me again, Lord?
Coach, it's going to have to be you. And it's going to have to be you and I. You know why? Because they put out filthy films like this movie Show Dogs, where animals just have to go to their happy place while they... I'm sorry to say this on your show, but this is what they put out.
I know this. Hey, listen. Hey, David, Arthur, it's our fault. We've allowed it to go on.
Hey, Coach, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, when it talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers yep. and against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places.
That's it, man.
And those high places are people in high positions in our government. And that's why this wickedness goes on, because it is going on there like an incredible rate. That's why there's no laws. There's really nothing being done, because they're all guilty and they're all doing it.
Amen. Amen. Look, I listen.
I'm sorry, Dave. One more thing I just want to add on that. I don't know if you're going to move on. But also, the pharmaceutical companies are tied also in with the adoption agency. Okay? That they're getting these children prescribed and then addicted to a lot of these type drugs. And they use ADD, among others. There's plenty of other ones.
Because
they use those. And then those families get... The adopted family gets supplemented money to make sure that they take those medications.
That's right. And so it's a wicked system, as Dale just said. It's a system that we are wrestling against, not flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against an evil system. Do you guys understand this? Do you understand how little the church understands that it's an evil system? Do you understand that the church has been told that we're not of this world, so we just stand back and we let this happen to little kids? And we're not of this world. And that to understand that you put two men, they may be the nicest men who are, I don't know these guys. They may be the nicest men. It could have been a complete accident. It could have been, these could be the nicest men anybody ever came across. It could have been loving, caring parents. I don't know. But the idea that we would put a child in purposefully in a home that is an unnatural home, we have lost our stinking minds. We've lost our stinking minds. Haven't we? We've just lost our stinking mind. To think that a child doesn't need a mommy and a daddy. Every child needs a mommy and a daddy. They deserve a mommy and a daddy. We have lost our stinking mind. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, I'll go back to that pastoral issue. Brother, when I get a phone call from a so-called, he names himself a pastor, to cast devils out of somebody. And I'm thinking, you mean to tell me you're pastoring people and you don't know how to cast devils out of people? I said, you're no more a pastor than you are a poached egg.
Amen. Okay, let me move on. I got a bunch of good stuff here for you today, okay? I got to show you this. Jared, go to which one do I want to go to first, Lord? Okay, Jared, go to stuff. Go to stuff. I want you guys to see this. It says Ohio voting, Jared. I'll post on that. I got a scripture we'll read here in a second. I just got to get this stuff out. I don't know if you saw that the Supreme Court just ruled. Most of you didn't follow because you don't live in Ohio. This is an Ohio case. You know, the Supreme Court just ruled that by a 5-4 vote that we can purge our voting records here in Ohio. And they had a system. We've been doing it for like 20 years. You go 2 years without voting. They send you a letter saying, you still there? You still live there? If you send the letter back, that's okay. If you don't answer and then you go another 3 election cycles or something like that, then they purge you off the list because people move, people die, people leave the state, yet they stay registered. By the way, that's how all the cheating is done in the election process. And I'm going to tell you this. I saw this firsthand back in the election of Barack Obama against, I can't remember which election, when Obama got elected the first time, second time. Because we went and we held a pro-life protest outside the early voting room. Think about this now, 30 days early voting. And you know why they get the 30 days early voting? Because they get these lists, these voting lists, and they know the people who have moved. And in fact, back in 2000, I was working to get Michael Perutka on the ballot in the state of Ohio. Me, Cal Zastro and I, we went out and we stood out in front of the courthouse. And we were getting signatures to try to get Michael Perutka on the ballot. And there were also guys out there who were gathering signatures, and they worked for a group called Acorn. Now, I'd never heard of Acorn. I didn't know what it was. They were very friendly. But everybody was coming out. They were getting everybody registered. Everybody registered to vote. Everybody registered. They had sheets and sheets and sheets up. Inner city Columbus. You with me? Inner city Columbus. And I figured, why are they doing? Why are they getting all these people registered to vote? And then I had an aha moment. I didn't have that aha moment until I went to the we went to do the pro-life thing 4 years later, 8 years later, 10 years, 12 years later, outside the voting poll. And then I realized they would pull them in buses. I'm not making this up. They would pull them in the buses and they would unload the buses. And when they would get off the bus,
the people would get off and somebody would be outside the door and they would hand them a sheet of paper and the people would go in and vote. And it didn't take me very long to realize that those people were being bused to the polls, and they were given, when they got off, they were given a sheet of paper. This is who you are. This is who you are. And from all these fake voting, from the people who died, people who registered and weren't there, the voting fraud is unbelievable all across America. So Ohio is trying to clean up the voting rolls by purging people who don't go vote and don't respond when you send them a letter. And the only way that the left has been able to win elections is through cheating. So this was really, really, really a big deal, and we didn't really hear much about it. Didn't really hear much. So I wanted to bring that to your attention this morning. Then I got another thing before we get going on. Before Jared, go back to the other thing, because I want you to see this. It says Bourdain and Clinton. I know you guys don't want to know this, and I know people don't want me to talk about it. I know they want me to talk about spiritual things, but I'm going to show you some spiritual things that you don't get, that you just don't get. What's going on? Stay right there, Jared. Anthony Bourdain. Bourdain. I think that's his name. CNN, right? You know that Anthony Bourdain's wife, I can't remember her name, is very, very clearly connected to Pedogate, Pizzagate, Clinton Foundation. You guys don't know this. I know that you don't. I know you don't. And we don't want to believe that this stuff is real, that this child trafficking, we don't want to believe it's real. I saw yesterday a statistic. Listen to this. There are 700,000 American children that go missing every year. 700,000 that go missing. We don't know what happens. We don't know. And then I saw this. This about blew me away. Did you guys know this? I know you didn't. Church, wake up, church. Wake up, church. Hey, church, wake up. That there are men and women in America who are getting pregnant and having the birth at home or some private place. Not having a birth certificate, not having anything with it, and then they sell the baby to these wicked cartels. Did you guys know that's going on? Did you have any idea that that kind of stuff is going on? This ain't play around stuff. This is very deep, 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 deep. If you want to know more about it, I have a video from, what's that guy's name? Steele, who used to be the CIA agent, James Steele. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It's about 15 minutes or I would play it. And he goes into the whole thing. This is very real, okay? Now, here's why I'm showing you this. Hey, Jared, just scroll down on here. I want you guys to see some pictures of Anthony Bourdain and his girlfriend. I'll tell you when to go. Just keep on going down, Jared. Keep on going down. Here's Anthony Bourdain, who, by the way, they say was actually – go back up, Jared. Let's go up. Go back up over. He was actually in tampering in cannibalism, by the way. Okay? Now, let's just read some of these posts that we see. Did Anthony Bourdain kill himself or did something else happen to him? Going down, Jared. Okay, listen to these texts. Look here. Anthony Bourdain says, what does he say? And I am in no way a Hillary Clinton fan. I've been on the receiving end of her operative wrath, and it ain't no fun. Keep going down. That was May 2nd, Jared. Going down. Look here. Here's a picture of Anthony Bourdain naked, holding a bone. What kind of bone? I don't know. When's the last time you had a picture taken like that? Would they give you a CNN job if you had a picture taken like that? Going down, Jared. And here's his girlfriend. You ready? There's his girlfriend sitting in a mountain of bones. Huh? Yeah, it says. Going down. Oh, that's not so good. There's a picture of Anthony Bourdain with blood all over his face. Folks, there are a lot of wicked. This wickedness is so much deeper than we understand it to be. Let's see if there's one more pair. Oh, look at this. Oh, Anthony Bourdain sends out a picture of a bloody heart. That's Anthony Bourdain's Twitter, wasn't it? Is that what it was?
His Instagram.
I think so. His Instagram. Look at that. Anthony Bourdain, a heart. Wow. CNN. Places unknown. Then what's he say here? Road home, seeing 1,000 miles. Go down. Time for me to throw out the dead bodies and pizza cartons. Can't wait to see you, my love. Huh?
Wink, wow. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink, wink. Let's assume for purposes of discussion, Anthony says, that Hillary is Satan's consort and eats children and puppies whenever possible. In what way is Mikey Cohen, the president's fixer, not a problem? So Anthony Bourdain is digging into an area that he's not supposed to be digging in, even though he's deeply involved possibly with some of this, in my opinion. And lo and behold, he hangs himself. Okay, Jared, enough of that. Enough of that. For those of you out there, here, let me do this. Let me do that.
On the tinfoil hat?
There you go. I'll put that on there because it didn't really happen. It didn't really happen. These people really are. There is no demon. There's no Satan. There are no demons. No. It's all in your head. It's all in your head. Let me put my other hat back on. Let me go. Wait a minute. Let me do this. Let me put on my Lindell hat. I'll put on my Lindell hat and I'll just act like I'm just one of the company guys and everything. I'll act like I'm Amish and none of this stuff's going on.
Before I tinfoil hat, can I mention about how Anthony Bourdain actually played a tranny film on his show for half an hour on CNN? This is broadcast.
I didn't know that, but it doesn't surprise me. Hey, folks, listen. Don't be surprised by the depth of evil. Why are we shocked by the depth of evil? If God is good, all good, and evil is real, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. We're talking about balance here. How deep could evil possibly be? Did you guys ever get hooked into something that you can't get out of? Did you get into pornography and go down that hole you thought you would never be able to get out of it? Did you ever get hooked on cigarettes and thought you'd never be able to get out of it? Did you ever, were you drink just a drunk and you couldn't get out of it? And you couldn't get, just went deeper and deeper and more and more? What do you think happens to you when sin enters in and there's no restraint and no Holy Spirit and you just go deep and deep? And do you think there's any depth to which you will not do? That's the unregenerated heart. That's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with very wicked people whose hearts have not been regenerated through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their heart has not been regenerated, and they continue to go darker and darker and darker and darker. Why are we surprised? Why are we surprised? Jared says, yes, Jared, inventors of evil things. This stuff is right in the scriptures, but we don't want to go there because it doesn't fit our Sunday school agenda. Okay, cool. I'm in John 17. John 7. I don't even know why I'm here. Other than that's what my wife, I said, but honey, you didn't give me a scripture. And she just texted this to me and she gave me a specific one. Let's follow this here a minute. These words spake Jesus. I'm in John 17:1 for those of you who don't have the screen in front of you. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh. This is Jesus talking now. You've given me power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Evidently, not everybody. To as many as thou hast given him. Past tense. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify you me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. The pre-incarnate. See, there's a spiritual world. There's a spiritual realm that we don't understand. It's right here. It is. With thine own self, which I had with thee before the world was. Wow, I preached there. I get you out of that little box that you're in. Stay with me. I've manifested thy name unto the men which thou gave me out of the world. Not everybody, but to the men that you gave me out of the world. Thine, they were yours, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me come from you, or of thee. Stay with me. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that you did send me. Talking about the believers, the disciples, all right? Watch this. I don't know if Larry's with us today. I pray for them. I pray not for the world. You see that? I pray for them.
Amen.
I pray not for the world, but for them, which you've given me. They belong to you. They're yours. and everything that are mine are yours, and all that are yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. See, the Lord is glorified through us. How? By what we do. By our deeds and by our works. Now, please understand, you don't get to heaven and you don't get brownie points for what you do. But if you are yours, if you are his, he's going to do stuff through you. He's going to be glorified in you and through you. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Not everybody. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gave me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy for themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Wow. Well, you don't hear this much in the church, do you? I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. What? What? I pray don't take them out of the world, huh? But that you should keep them from the evil, I would say, in the world. Don't take them out of here. Keep them here, they're salt. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. But Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And as you've sent me into the world, I'm going to send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I these for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I'm in thee, that they may also be one in us, that thou, the world, may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gave me I have given to them, that they may be one, even as I am one. We could go on and on and on and on. Do you understand it? Do you understand why it's broad and narrow, many and few? Do you understand that we are the counter to Anthony Bourdain? We are the counter. Do you understand that we are the counter to all this evil that's going on in the world? We are. Do you understand that? And do you understand that when I come to people's, and got to be careful, folks. I don't say God bless you to just everybody I come in contact with. I'm sorry, I just don't. Because I find an exclusivity in the scriptures that most people want to deny is there. Jesus was very, very exclusive in whom he was talking to and about. You are of your father, the devil. We don't even recognize that the devil has kids. Anthony Bourdain's daddy was the devil. Come on. We're taught we're all God's children. Yes.
You know, for a long time now, I love what you just said, because for a long time now, I've been led when speaking to people and stuff, especially people that I've just met or don't know. My discernment isn't as sharp as it should be. I don't say God bless you. I say be blessed. And whoever you're serving, bless you. If they're serving the devil, I want them to get the devil's rewards, because that might drive them to Christ. If they're serving God, I want God to bless them, because I want the best for them. So I don't say God bless you. I say be blessed.
Amen. Amen, Larry. Amen.
Dave?
Yes. Yes.
Can we all? Throughout the huddle, we've talked about many things dealing with evil, but what struck me a little bit with some of your comments was, why would God, and why would there be such focus of the full armor of God if evil was not on the march constantly? What would be the need for the full armor of God? And I think those of you that know the Bible better than me could hit two or three things quickly of God telling us get ready, put the armor on. Well, that's got to tell us evil is on the march. It's not quiet.
It's not passive. It's not neutral. We want to believe it's neutral. And remember, seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, this eternal battle is taking place. And one side is marching forward and the other side is what? We're not even holding ground. I don't even know what term to give it.
One thing also is, if you look at the armor is all front and sides. There's nothing in the back. You're supposed to have a wedge with your fellow next to you, to your right and to your left, covering your flank, and you guys are pressing forward and on the attack. We should be on the attack, not sitting back saying, oh, our best life now, or whatever they say.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you were to go typical church today, the full armor of God is going to protect you from bad finances. The full armor of God's going to protect you from maybe not getting the job you want. The full armor of God is going to protect you. Who knows what? It's never, hardly ever is the emphasis on what we saw in those pictures of Anthony Bourdain and what is going on.
Yeah, we want to ignore it, Roger. We don't want to believe it's going on, but it's going on. It's going on, and the church isn't awakened to it. So what am I saying? This little kid that gets killed in Newark, is there going to be any consequence at all? Is it going to be? A month from now, when the comes out, is the church going to rise up and say, what, they were doing what? They were doing what? What were they doing to that little boy? Oh, but that was just an exception. That was just an exception. What, the fact that he died or the fact that it was going on? What's the exception?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, folks. Understand this. Hang on. I'm sorry. Understand this. The enemy has infiltrated every area of American society. Every area. Now, you can call it whatever. You can call it homosexuality. You can call it pedophilia. You can call it whatever you want to. That is a vehicle and a weapon by which the devil. If you were the devil, wouldn't you go after young kids? If you were the devil, wouldn't that be your target? If you were the devil, wouldn't you want to corrupt these little creatures made in the image of God, the image bearers of God, whether they're saved or not? Wouldn't you want to do everything you could possibly do to turn these little image bearers away from God? And the answer to the question is yes. And so the devil's kids know that, and they infiltrate every area. Why do they do that? Because they are of their father, the devil, and they are doing his work. And the church is oblivious to this stuff that's going on. Go ahead, whoever tried to jump in.
Yeah, Chad, you know, about the armor not covering your back. You know, oh, well, Jesus has got my back. Well, you know who Jesus uses? He uses his brothers and sisters. You are your brother's backside armor. Your brother is your backside.
Well, that's right, Larry. But if we're pushing forward, we don't need it in the back.
Right. Yeah. No. When we're pushing forward, we know that the enemy is all around us.
Good point.
We're supposed to have each other's backs. We're supposed to have each other's sixes.
Hey, Jared, pull up the thing I just sent you. Pull up the thing.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, Coach, I met with a pastor yesterday. This is one that they had a couple guys that were really, really over the top. I won't go into a lot of detail, but when we were doing some Dan Fisher signs, and so I confronted him yesterday, had about a half an hour talk with him. But what you guys are saying this morning, it's basically this. The church is AWOL. He and I could not have been on more opposite sides of the spectrum. He was all about love and feely stuff. And I'm saying, no, we've got to confront evil. We've got to call sin, sin. And so all this evil that's going on is because good men are doing absolutely nothing. So those of us that are listening here, we need to, whenever we have the opportunity, we have to be bold and speak out. We can't just say, well, let Coach Dave do it. Let Larry do it. Let Dale Socha do it. Or Chad, whatever. We need to, when we see that evil, we need to go front and center and confront it in a godly manner.
George, can you imagine what they're going to do when I go call out the children services. Can you imagine what the pariah I'm going to be? Because you know why? Because there are a lot of people in church who are on, is interesting, Jeff, the homosexual pride parade here in Newark this weekend. They called them the LGBTQRSs and their ally. There you are, baby, and their allies. And you know who's become the LGBTQ's greatest allies? The cold dead church.
Right.
The cold dead church has become their ally. They're so good with words. They're so good with words. The devil twists everything. I posted on my Facebook yesterday. I stole a line from David Arthur. I posted on my Facebook page. I am gay. I posted and I said, I don't, Jared, you can find, I don't even remember what I said. I'm always baiting people, right? I'm always baiting people on my Facebook page. I am gay. And I said, I've been married for 39 years. There it is. I admit it. I'm gay. Blame my wife of 39 years. She's the one who makes me gay. Dang, I'm happy.
Hallelujah.
And David. Oh, my goodness. I heard from people. Oh, you're always just stirring up trouble. Why can't you just leave people alone? See, that's those are the allies. All right? Those are the allies. Because the homosexuals, they can't do it on their own. They got to have allies. So they go take over Children Protective Services. And they go take over police departments. And they go take over city councils. And they go take over school boards. They infiltrate. And they take over. And when they take over, then we become the bad guys.
Yeah.
You guys think I'm crazy?
No, Coach. The scripture says this. He says, I will gather all your enemies against you, brother. All your enemies, which in that's the only place you see the now cows, the Islamic phobias, the false church, they all gather together to come against Christ in his church. That's exactly what it is.
Amen. And so the divide and conquer strategy they've been using, we have to be smarter and we have to use it too. Muslims and homosexuals both hate Christians and they work together. They work together. Now the Muslims, if they had the chance, it would kill the homosexuals. Yes or no? Am I disputing that? Huh? Yet they're allies. They're allies, right? My buddy Flip Benham said that homosexuality, homosexuality, abortion, and Islam are three fingers of the same fist. They want to destroy Christ. Three fingers of the same fist. Go ahead, Chad.
To say that falls under Sun Tzu, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yep.
Enemy of my enemy is my friend. So they can join together until the Christian cause, so to speak, is eliminated. And then at such time, then they'll turn.
They'll turn on each other.
That's right. And that's what's going to happen. But see, I kind of had a premonition. This is not new. You guys probably already know this. But see, the church is who persecuted Christ. His own people persecuted him. It wasn't the atheists. It wasn't the homosexuals. It was the people. And I believe that I've come to kind of see that the church itself, the organized church itself, it's been infiltrated. Obviously, we know that. But it's been infiltrated for a reason to water down, to weaken, to soften, I don't know what the right term is, okay, the congregate, so that they will not go on the attack, they'll not have no spiritual warfare, they'll have nothing, so they're going to get rolled over. So they're going to stand no chance.
So, Chad, how about this? If we just read in chapter 17 here of John, Jesus said, I don't pray for the world. I don't pray for the world. And what does the church do? What does the church spend all their time doing? Praying for the world. Hey, look, come here. Look what came in here, man. Let's keep a guy happy right there. Let's keep a guy here. Yeah, right? So we find all people in the church that are praying for the world. Oh, we just got to pray for them. Well, it's a dichotomy. Look there. The dichotomy, because Jesus didn't. He just said that, didn't he? Larry, did I miss that? Didn't he say, I don't pay? Didn't he say that? Wait a minute. I pray not for the world. I pray for them. I pray not for the world.
verse 15, he told God not to take the disciples out of the world, but to leave them in there and to fight. And the reason he did that was so that he could have an impact in the kingdom that he planned to set up for, you know, after he left. Those disciples were to stay there and do the work that he taught them to do. So that, you know, that's very adamant about do not remove. I always equate it, don't rapture these guys out of here because they got work to do.
Got work to do. And what is that work to do?
Confront evil.
You're supposed to be confronting evil.
He taught us to pray for God's will. He taught us to pray for God's will. He revealed his and God's will when he said five times in John 17, five times that they may be one. If anybody thinks that the church is going to get its mission accomplished before it is unified, and I'm talking about those who are truly brothers and sisters in Christ, if the church is going to get its mission accomplished before it's unified, you're dreaming. Ephesians tells us that the five offices of the, you know, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, maybe four offices of the teacher and the pastor lumped together, depending on how you look at it. But those offices are there. They're in position. They're in existence until the church comes into unity. So anybody that's not pushing for that unity of the true brothers and sisters in Christ just hasn't understood what the Bible says yet.
All right, let me. Yeah, Sarge says the Vatican's unifying them. Well, he's sure trying, isn't he? Okay, let me end on. I've been trying to get this up here for a couple of days. Let me uplift you. Let me end here on a good note. Jared, bring that thing up there on Noah Webster. Again, I think you had it up there before. I got the Bill Fetter of American Minute. Bill Fetter's a great guy. Most of you know who William J. Fetter is. I consider him a friend. I'm not name dropping. I just consider him one of my friends. And he puts out one of these things every day. Different American Minute, he calls. Jared, I'm trying to find where you are there, man. Oh, there you are. I'm sorry. Now, Jared, like he always does, when he does these are really, really long. Jared, scroll down. I want you to scroll almost two-thirds of the way down when he begins to – hang on there a second. Bill Fetter is talking to us about language, where words come from, and he starts with – that's where I want you to go, Jared. So he starts about how language – we started with writing. We wrote on stones, and we moved to this, then we moved to the printing press, and this is how – and then he gets to Noah Webster. And those of you who watch this show know that I was turned on by – Damia and some of our friends to that Webster's 1828 dictionary. I go there regularly. I hope you guys do as well. And it's interesting. Oh, Bill Fetter. So I want you, just so we know who we know Webster is. Webster's dictionary. You all remember that when you're in school? Webster's dictionary. Well, Noah Webster. Well, here it is. Noah Webster. The father of American scholarship and education was Noah Webster, who died in 1843. Noah Webster attended Yale, founded as a Puritan congregational school, but when the Revolutionary War started, he left to fight. After graduation, Noah Webster became a lawyer, and he taught in New York. Dissatisfied with children's spelling books, Webster wrote the famous Blueback Speller, which sold over 100 million copies. Early editions had a moral catechism with rules from the scriptures. For generations, American school children learned letters, morality, and patriotism from Webster's spellers, catechisms, history books, and his Webster's dictionary. Most of you didn't know this. Noah Webster served 9 terms in Connecticut's legislature, 3 terms in Massachusetts legislature, where he lobbied for funding of public education, arguing the government should discipline our youth in early life in sound maxims of moral, political, and religious studies. Stop there a second, Jared. See, Noah Webster said public education because the church was in control of the education and all children needed to learn morality. All right? Continue on, Jared. Noah Webster stated, society requires that the education by youth should be watched with the most scrupulous attention. Education, in a great measure, forms the moral characters of men, and morals are the basis of government. Education should therefore be the first care of a legislature, which is much easier to introduce and establish an effectual system for preserving morals than to correct by penal statutes the ill effects of a bad system. He continued, "The goodness of a heart is of indefinitely more consequence to society than an elegance of manners, nor will any superficial accomplishments repair the want of principle in the mind." You say Anthony Bourdain? "The education of youth lays the foundation on which both the law and gospel rest for success. Noah stated, to give children a good education of manners, arts, and science is important. To give them a religious education is indispensable. And an immense responsibility rests on parents and guardians who neglect these duties." Webster went on to say, "Practical truths in religion, in morals, and in all civil and social concerns ought to be among the first and most prominent objects of instruction." And by the way, they are educating children in public schools today in morality, just not Christian morality. They're giving them government morality, humanistic morality, whatever feels good morality. The schools understand the devil sees the schools, and he understood what Noah Webster's telling us. Without religious and moral principles deeply impressed on the mind and the controlling the whole conduct, science and literature will not make men what the laws of God require them to be. So we have fake science now. We have global warming. We have people, men are not men and women are not women because it's amoral science. Without religion and moral principles deeply impressed on the mind and controlling the whole conduct, science and literature will not make men what the laws of God require them to be. And without both kinds of knowledge, moral, religious, citizens cannot enjoy the blessings which they seek. Noah Webster wrote on the education of youth in America, printed in Webster's in 1788, "In some countries, the common people are not permitted to read the Bible at all." Almost in America, isn't it? In ours, it is as common as a newspaper. And in schools, is read with nearly the same degree of respect. Select passages of scriptures may be read in schools to great advantage. He says, "My wish is not to see the Bible excluded from schools, but to see it used as a system of religion and morality. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the school code, and other laws relating to public schools compiled by Nathan Schaefer says this, Article 1, the Holy Bible to be read in the public schools, that at least 10 verses from the Holy Bible shall be read or caused to be read without comment at the opening of each and every school day by the teacher in charge, provided that where any teacher has other teachers under and subject to direction, then the teachers exercising this authority shall read the Holy Bible or cause it to be read as herein directed. That if any school teacher, whose duty it shall be to read the Holy Bible or cause it to be read as directed from this act, shall fail or omit to do so, that teacher shall, upon charges preferred for such failure or omission and proof of the same before the governing board of the school district, be discharged." If the teacher did not dutifully read the Bible, they were fired. Dallas Public School published the Bible study course, New Testament. Going down there, Jared, because we're running out of time. Forward. This is the forward. 1946. The Dallas Public Schools allowed one half credit toward high school graduation for the successful completion of a general study course in the Bible given in the churches and Sunday schools of the city. If you went to church and Sunday school, you got a half a credit. And by 1939, it was decided to provide separate courses in the Old and the New Testament, each course carrying one half unit of credit toward high school graduation. And the assistant superintendent in charge of schools says this, "Classes may be organized by any Sunday school or church or any other religious organization for the purpose of studying the Bible in their respective organizations with a view to obtaining high school credit. Successful completion of the course gives one half unit credit toward high school graduation. An application blank, given necessarily information about class, must be filled out and filed with the assistant superintendent in charge of Dallas High Schools." It's 1949. There must be a minimum of 40 class periods of 90 minutes and net teaching time of 60 minute periods net time, or 80 45 minute periods net time. In no case will fewer than 40 different class sessions be studied. They're setting down the guidelines for how much Bible must be studied to get a credit. The text used is the New Testament study course, a syllable published by the authority of the Dallas Board of Education for use in Bible study credit classes. Minimum requirements. The course is itself a minimum course, since teachers are expected to supplement rather than subtract from the topics. Teachers are expected to build on what the kids are learning. Apply to name and classify the books of the Bible. These are some, what they're supposed to be able to do. General knowledge of the New Testament is outlined in the course of study. Reading of the entire New Testament is required. Ability to reproduce the memory passages indicated in connection with the lessons and given in full in the appendix. 1949. This ain't 1722. 4:10. Appendix required memory verses for review purpose. Pupils should be able to produce from memory each of the following quotations when given the accompanying lead, the book, chapter, and verse reference. Lesson 1, the preexistence of Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything but made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst them. This was a one they had to be able to quote. 2, Jesus to the devil in the wilderness. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thy serve. That was lesson number 2, to get credit in public school. Lesson number 3, the purposes of Christ coming. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In advice to the young included in his History of the United States, Noah Webster wrote, the brief exposition of the Constitution of the United States will unfold to young persons the principles of Republican government. That the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly the New Testament of the Christian religion. And Republican government loses half of its value where the moral and social studies are imperfectly understood or negligently practiced. I'm going to read that again. Republican government loses half of its value where the moral and social duties are imperfectly understood or negligently practiced. Webster added, to exterminate our popular vices is a work of far more importance to the character and happiness of our citizens than any other improvements in our educational system. And he also said this, scrolling up here, moral evils constitute or produce most of the miseries of mankind, and these may be prevented or avoided. Be it remembered that then that disobedience to God's law or sin is the procuring cause of almost all of the sufferings of mankind. God has so formed the moral system of this world that a conformity to it, his will by men, produces peace, prosperity, and happiness. And disobedience to his will or laws inevitably causes men misery. And if men are wretched, it is because they reject the government of God and seek temporary good in that which certainly produces evil. We could go on and on and on. I'm running out of time. If the language can be improved in regularity, this is why he made the Bible. This is why he wrote Noah's, the Webster's Dictionary. If the language can be improved in regularity, in other words, if we can all use the same words, so as to be more easily acquired by our own citizens and by foreigners, and thus be rendered a more useful instrument for the propagation of science, art, civilization, and Christianity. Webster published his translation of the Holy Bible, Webster Bible, on and on and on. Oh. They've lied to us, boys. They've infiltrated and replaced every iota of Christianity from every area of our society, to the point where to anyone who stands up now and publicly defends Christian values is a hateful and a bigot, the complete opposite of what Noah Webster had when he suggested public school. Somebody come on in there and help me wrap this up.
Semantics and misdirection, Coach. That's once again, that's all it is. Semantics and misdirection. That's how
words have meaning, don't they, fellas? Words have meaning. Gay. They're gay. No, I'm gay. Got to reclaim that word. Got to reclaim that word.
Right,
boy, hey, how about this?
Amen. You know what, Coach? I wasn't gay when I was a homosexual, but I'm gay now.
You sure are, brother. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are yours. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.